This is Radio Kate in Brighton for the Great Escape Festival, and I've just caught Ian Rogers from Topspin from an interesting panel. What was it? What are we going to do after MySpace? I think was the title, was that right?
I think that's what Will Page titled it, yes.
All right, so before we get into that, just tell us a bit about Topspin in case we don't know about it.
Sure. Topspin is a software platform that we do direct-to-consumer, direct-to-fan marketing and retail together. So people use us to, you know, go from being unknown to known and connect directly with fans over email and Twitter and Facebook, and then build the best store on the web so that they can, you know, spread their music far and wide.
And do you think that relationship between the fans and musicians is becoming even more important now?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's really kind of what the internet affords. It's great that, you know, before, if you were going to have a direct relationship with your fans, it was maybe via fanzines or, you know, mail order catalogs. I mean, that's what I grew up with, mail ordering records from Berkeley, California. But now, you know, you can use the internet and have a direct connection with fans and really efficiently get the word out. You know, I've got a new song, I've got a new album, I'm going to be playing here. You know, you're not reliant on, you know, gatekeepers to get that message across. So that's a huge opportunity for artists that the internet's really brought, and all companies like us are trying to do is to give tools that make that, you know, easier and more time efficient and cost efficient for artists.
And how well does that work for smaller bands? I mean, the big bands already have a fan base that they can tap into and connect with, but for smaller emerging bands, is it useful for them too?
I think it's even more important for them. I mean, we see, what we see is that with a large band, we might be, you know, 10 to 25% of their sales, and for a small band, we'll be 97% of their sales, right? Because, you know, the only way that the word is getting out there is directly from the artist. They're putting their feet on the street. They're spreading their own word. It's not like they're on the front page of iTunes, you know. They're on the front page of their own page, and then they've got to go tell people about that page. So the tools are even more important then. If you've already got traditional media, you know, you don't need to email your fans when your new album comes out, because it's going to be on the front page of the NME, right? But if that's not the case, then, you know, you're the one that has to tell your fans directly, I'm going on tour. So that conduit and having those direct connections is way more important for small bands than big bands even.
And in your little keynote that you gave at the conference, you had some advice on how often you should do those sort of things. Could you just repeat that for people who weren't here?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people are overwhelmed by what they need to do to do a good job online. And so we just try to give them a little bit of guidance. It's not a hard, fast rule, but it definitely seems to work to, you know, as a rule of thumb, do something small every week and something big once a month. And that something big might be release an album, announce a tour, have a new video. It could be something else creative. You know, you're an artist. Come up with what that creative thing is. But something that's worthy of sending an email to your fan base. And then once a week, you can do something else that might gather a few fans here or there. It could be more than once a week. But, you know, whether it's something you're doing on Twitter or a blog post or a thought or a song or a fraction of a song or a, you know, all kinds of creative things you can do, maybe smaller things. But I think you'll find that over time, you know, the new model is about snowballs, not blockbusters. And to keep that snowball going, you've really got to keep it rolling. And that's what that advice is meant to remind people.
And you're also saying that you think collecting somebody's email address rather than a 99 cents for a particular track is a better way of going forward, because you can build up the relationship with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we've seen, just, you know, even empirically, the value of an email is a lot more than 99 cents. And also, it's easier to collect emails than it is to collect dollars. So, you know, if you've got just one song or even four songs, I would much sooner give them away than sell them. I think that fan connection is really, really, really valuable. So if you can, there's no question that giving music away to people so that they can become fans and bring them further into the fold is a real strategy, and it really works. You know, just to use an example, we've had a number of bands who, instead of selling their songs, they've given them away, and then they're able to make more money because they have a larger fan base, and they're able to tour, and they're able to use that touring to grow their fan base, and, you know, they get that snowball going that way. You don't need to just put something out there and be disappointed when someone doesn't buy it. I think I definitely can't think of a reason to sell a track on your website for 99 cents. The connection with the fan is much more valuable.
And so going back to the topic of the talk, you know, I mean, what went wrong with MySpace, and how are companies like your own going to make sure you don't fall down those same sort of holes?
Well, I mean, I think what went wrong with MySpace, I'm not sure that, I mean, I almost have to put my Yahoo Music hat back on to have that conversation. But the, you know, I mean, fundamentally, I think MySpace really was a great music product that tried to become something else. And, you know, they lost sight of what they were, which was a great music product. So it's a longer conversation, but we can leave that at that. I mean, I think that, you know, also MySpace is they are apples and oranges. MySpace is a consumer destination. We're at the other end of the value chain. We're not at the fan end of the value chain. Is, you know, our brand isn't out there. For us, it's about the artists are our customers. You know, I think every startup has to worry about how they don't end up going the way of the dinosaur, though. You know, and if you think about it, you look back to, I started in digital media in 1992. There are only a couple of companies you can name from the very beginning of digital media that are still around. So, you know, anybody who tells you they can see further than 6 months down the road is a liar. You know, we all just, you know, do our best to, you know, grow our businesses and you know, stick to what we're good at. I think the good news, though, is that there is more opportunity than ever, and I think that, you know, 10 years from now, there will be even more small companies that serve artists, not less. And it is a big sky, and there are a lot of great small businesses to be built serving artists, just as I think even more artists will be great small businesses.
That's great. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, sure.